Holland America laid off its Alaska employees at the end of September 1980, so there were no staff in Sitka. The cruise line instead called John Litton, manager of Sitka Tours, and asked him to make arrangements for survivors.
We realized immediately, oh man, we've got something on our hands. There was close to 200 of the people. They were coming off wearing garbage bags, nightgowns. Some of them were wrapped up in curtains that they ripped down off the walls of the ship. It was just crazy watching them walk down off the long gangway. I started thinking about, okay, here we have all these elderly people, and they've come off the ship with virtually nothing. Many of them are going to need medications. Many of them are going to need toiletries. And not until I saw them coming down the gangway did I think about clothing.
So Litton called several shopkeepers and asked them to open their stores. He told them to run a tab. They would figure out payment later. Bonnie Brenner ran a woman's clothing store.
All these ladies were in there. They didn't have underwear because they just had left the ship in whatever they were wearing. And so we clothed them, and I'd never seen anything like it. We just kept selling everything.
John kept saying, oh my God, oh my God.
Shirley Robards worked at John McDonald's men's store.
And we didn't have, of course, enough stuff for that influx of people right now. There's a lot of people. They cleaned us out. I forget what we did. I think it was like $41,000 or something. So Porpoise and Dam.
Back then, the wealthier people were who cruised. It wasn't yet into middle America cruising.
Jill Scheidt owned Vi's Apparel. Many of the survivors were placed at the Sheffield House, now the Totem Square Inn. Vi's was the first stop for women off the ship without any clothes.
They came into the store in their nightgowns with mink coats on and so forth. Some with shoes, some without.
Wow. What types of things did they buy?
They bought mostly clothing that they could wear when they were planning on leaving the next day on an airplane.
Did they pay or did the line pick up the tab?
The line picked it up. Said, go ahead and just create a charge account and we will make sure it gets to the right people and you get paid. And it did, and very rapidly, actually.
With the line picking it up, did some people clean you out?
They really didn't. They got what they needed. No one really seemed to be excessive.
But there are always a few in every crowd, like the guy Shirley Robards encountered.
There was one gentleman out of all of them that I remember, and I think he was really quite well-to-do. And he wanted the pants shortened, and he wanted this, and he wanted that, and it was the only one that ended up with more than just what they needed to get home. I don't think $1,000 was very much to him.
But a bigger problem was medications. Many of the passengers were elderly and on maintenance drugs. John Litton.
Paul Lunas had a medical office practice right across from the bookstore upstairs, and he came down, and so did Ed and Mary Spencer. Their practice was just out Halibut Point Road, and they came into the hotel, and they sat down, and they just had people walk up and say, what medications were you taking? What were the dosages? And they, without any kind of physical exam, just started writing them scripts.
And they went across the street to Harry Race Pharmacy, which had opened for the occasion. Harry Race also sold out of toothbrushes and other toiletries. Throughout the rescue, Sitkins contributed their own blankets and other goods, and some offered home-cooked meals.
The townspeople poured out. When they heard that these people came out without clothing, people were bringing donations into the Sheffield. It was just incredible.
Because of the weather, most passengers stayed in Sitka for 2 nights. Some stayed a few days longer, recovering in the hospital. The first survivors arrived in Sitka Saturday afternoon. On the following Friday, the Sentinel announced last out. On Saturday, the Prince and Dam, still on fire and under tow to a Portland shipyard, sank off of Cape Edgecombe in 9,000 feet of water. In Sitka, with help from Emily Kwong, I'm Rich McClear.